You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
This is Ken Vellante with the Something Rather Than Nothing podcast. And this episode, we have Sarah Bilt, who is a singer in a metal band, a doom metal band, Coyote. She's based in Eugene, Oregon. She also sings for the Sarah B3 45 RPM Soul Review, kind of classic soul music. She sings in that. She also does bead work and some other graphic art. And it's great to have an artist that's local here nearby me in Eugene, Oregon. Sarah Bilt, wanted to welcome you to the podcast.
Thank you.
Sarah, the first question I ask guests is what you were like when you were you younger. Did you always have an artistic inclination?
I did. I was a really shy child and grew up as an only child mostly. I had two older siblings through my mother, and I'm my father's only child. So I kind of spent a lot of time with myself and started out writing, like poetry mostly, and singing and drawing too, but I kind of filled my time singing mostly. Definitely.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Definitely. Spent a lot of alone time just kind of out in nature as well. I grew up on a farm in Northern California.
And what type of art, you mentioned you sang. Did you take any lessons for singing? You have an incredible voice. I mean, folks will hear the track where you sing later on. I saw you live before the pandemic, and was just blown away by your voice and your other ability. So let's talk about, just beginning with that, with singing. Did you started that early? Did you take lessons? Do you just learn from somebody in your family?
My father was a professional musician. He had his own band in the late 60s, early 70s, and recorded for Warner Brothers. He also sang and played guitar. And I was always really guarded about my voice and my art, and just kind of, it was very personal to me. And so even though he offered to lend a guiding hand, I was pretty stubborn about that and insisted on kind of finding my own way. But definitely a lot of musicians on both sides of my family, and that came out regardless. But I never took lessons. My father, I grew up with a lot of music playing in the house, and he always, listening to music, would ask me to study different artists and kind of notice like instrumentation and arrangement and different styles and things like that. And I think that kind of primed my brain to really follow that path.
And with regards to the band that I had seen you open up for, Blackwater Holy Light, another amazing band, in Eugene in March, I want to learn more about Coyote. I want to learn about who's in the band, and just generally why you put Coyote together and what you're trying to do with the music. I love it. I mean, categorically, I know metal's crazy about categories. I mean, it has a, right? It has a soulful sound. People say like stoner doom or, doom. It has this noticeably imbued soul element, that comes out through your voice and the instruments. But tell me about, I don't want to assume anything. Tell me about how Coyote came together. and sure. You know, your role within that.
So when I moved to Eugene in 2004, I was 19 years old and just really kind of coming into my own as a songwriter and gaining confidence, and started out playing open mics and kind of had that singer-songwriter thing going on, which I was never really comfortable with. And that role of kind of, you know, the young woman with the acoustic guitar at the coffee shop, I didn't really identify with that so much. And I really sought out other musicians to help me get away from that role and kind of move into where I knew I wanted to be, playing harder music. And so I kind of had a few punk bands and like surf punk bands early on. But after I really kind of delved into the music scene in Eugene and started meeting more people and realizing, you know, how much talent there is here and how many great musicians are out there, found a few people that I could relate to and felt comfortable playing with. Because as a young woman in the scene, it's kind of intimidating and can be tricky finding your way and maintaining your vision. But a friend of mine, Jeremiah, who I always admired as a musician and a person, we decided that we were going to jam, and I had some songs. You know, some of those songs that we play, I wrote in high school and have morphed and changed over the years into what they are now. But really, in that first incarnation of Coyote, I just was sort of feeling out the sound that I was going for. And it didn't start out that heavy, but as I became more confident in finding like my guitar tone and finding my voice, it quickly headed down that path. And Coyote has had a few personnel changes over the past 6 years, but currently my partner Jeff is playing bass, and our good friend Ken plays drums. And Jeff and Ken have been in bands together over the past like 10 or 12 years, so they have a really strong connection. And I think that comes through in our performances. We haven't been able to record with this lineup yet. Hope to soon. But yeah, that has really lent itself to a lot of great sounds. And as far as the songwriting, like I write an entire completed song and then kind of show it to the guys and be like, all right, well, where do you think your parts fit in here and there? And they just kind of go with it. And luckily they're gracious enough to let me do that, because, you know, not that I've ever kept anyone from bringing songs to the table, but that's just always kind of how it's been. So.
And it's also one of the more difficult, you know, things to navigate in the band, you know, as far as the creative inputs, right? And
sure, yeah.
It sounds like, you know, you have some space, you know, some space within that. Did you, you know, you're talking about kind of songs that, you know, the songs that you're talking about creating getting heavier and kind of maybe becoming immersed a little bit more into the metal scene. Did you have to deal, I mean, did you have to deal with, you know, shit as being like a woman or an indigenous woman in the metal scene? I find the metal scene to be a warm and inviting scene, but I'm a 47-year-old white guy who grew up listening to metal, you know? So Did you find any difficulties in that way in general?
I did not. I started out going to, I don't know if you ever went to the Samurai Duck back in the day when it was open here in Eugene. And that's kind of where I met some of the metal community. And everyone was really warm and supportive. The booker there, Steph, she kind of took me under her wing a little bit. And that's back when I was playing solo and playing electric guitar solo. And she would book me and let me play and kind of just cut my teeth and figure things out. And I was really grateful for that opportunity to grow. And people have been supportive. You know, there's sketchy people in every scene, but as far as here, I've been really impressed with how warm and welcoming people have been.
Yeah, I find I found myself as you know, I've been around doom metal for a bit and in Oregon for a few years, going to a lot of shows, and it's a very comfortable, it's a very moving experience for me, and I'm glad to hear that, you know, you've had, you know, there's a, like you said, in any scene there's always an element, and metal does have some intensity in it, which brings that out in folks. But I wanted to play, hey, Sarah, I wanted to play a track of Coyotes called Glad Hand, and I'm going to play that now, and we could chat about the track after we play. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you. thanks for putting that song together. That's incredible.
Thank you.
I love that song. I love your vocals. So one of the questions I have is, and I've asked folks who play metal before, you know, do art, is with the pandemic right now, what do you think the role of art or of, say, metal, you know, heavy metal in the pandemic? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, well, I think that it's definitely, you know, an outlet as far as, you know, we're all trapped, presumably, in our houses and cut off from a lot of experiences and people that we're usually surrounded by. And I think that, you know, creating and giving yourself an outlet is important to process something like this, for sure. 'Cause, you know, that's something just about all of us have not experienced until now. So it's a new challenge for everybody.
Do you feel like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you do beadwork and you do some, you know, some graphic design and some also you know, some sketching and drawing. Have you found that your mode of expression has changed, or there's been greater output or less output, or more pressure or less pressure?
I definitely feel pressure put on myself, you know, to maintain a certain level of productivity, which I know a lot of us have been struggling with, because, you know, you feel like, oh, I have all this time on my hands, so it would seem natural to, you know, take advantage of all of that time and just be creating as much as possible. But really, in my personal life right now, a lot going on. Like, I've been taking care of my father, who's been recovering from surgery, and just kind of trying to maintain a comfortable situation for him and also myself and my partner and my roommate and in our household. And just trying to make things feel as normal as possible, which is a challenge. But we've been getting through it okay, you know, and looking at it. But yeah, it's just a really strange, crazy time. And I have been drawing a lot more and starting to get back into my bead work. I usually do a market in the Whitaker neighborhood during the summertime, and that, of course, has been canceled for this season. So I haven't really been creating as much as I usually do as far as beadwork goes, but I'm getting back into it and, you know, having to make money some way. So that's kind of been my mode lately.
And with one of the things that I had mentioned to you before chatting with you is I didn't realize that you sing in a soul review, Sarah B, in the 45 RPM. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that project and kind of what type of music you sing and how that project came about?
Sure. Yeah. So going back to my, you know, my upbringing, my father and my mother both are huge fans of, like, early soul and R&B. And so that I was surrounded by that music growing up. and that was my first love. When I was first starting to play with other musicians, one of my friends invited me to this lady jam. You know, all older ladies than me at the time. I was 21 or 22. I can't remember. But ladies that I looked up to. And I was just so blown away to be invited to play, and just they just accepted me, and it was a great learning experience for me. But we ended up playing a couple Otis Redding songs, and after that session, we sat around and we're like, man, wouldn't it be great to have a soul band? And I kind of just took the idea and ran with it and devoted all of my spare time to putting this band together, and got on Craigslist and put an ad out for musicians and kind of put together this ragtag team of people who didn't know each other, and we managed to learn like 10 or 12 songs, and those songs are not easy to play. But we managed to do it, and we had a show on the 4th of July, and I remember it was at Sambon's Garage, and I remember going to the door guy and like putting a couple people on the list, and he was like, you know, I wouldn't put too many people on the list because it's going to be I forget how he said it, but he was nice about it. He was like, you know, you're not going to get very many people in here tonight because of the holiday. And I was just like, oh, you just wait and see. and we packed the place, and it was really a profound moment for me, kind of realizing my potential. And it was really difficult to keep that going in that incarnation, but every couple years I'd get the itch to do it again and put together a different group of people, you know, and it was always around 10 people in the band with the backup singers and the horn players and everything. And this most recent time that I got a band together, with new people that were just really incredible musicians and just really reliable and confident people, and it just clicked and it worked really well. So we decided to keep doing it, and it's been 2 years now going with that incarnation of the band. And it's been really important for me this time also, like having that experience with Coyote and then coming back to the soul band, because, you know, singing those songs, you know, we do like a lot of really challenging vocal parts, and I've really had to step up my game and really learn a lot more about technique. And having that experience and singing in front of hundreds and hundreds of people, which I had never done before, really gave me a lot more confidence to get back into the Coyote material and not be afraid of my own voice. I think before, I always knew what my potential and like my desired style was, but I was unsure of myself a little bit, and I kind of held myself back. And the experience with the soul band has really dissolved all of that for me, and I'm really grateful for that experience. And we hope to keep doing it if live shows are still going to be a thing in the future.
I've heard some of the tracks that you played, and myself, my parents, they listen a lot of Motown. I heard a lot of I just hearing like Stevie Wonder and Otis Redding and like Marvin Gaye and things like that. And you mentioned Otis Redding, always felt like a particular connection to him. When I worked in I lived and worked in Madison for about a decade, and his plane crashed in Lake Monona. So there's always this like close connection that's right near where my office was, and they have a nice plaque for that. And just kind of one of those like incredible soulful voices. And it was challenging for you to sing those you mentioned. It looks like a lot of fun singing those. Are they as fun to sing as they look?
Oh my God. It's the most fun I've ever had. Like every time we play, it's just, you know, the best night of my life. And to be able to, you know, sing those songs that I really love and admire, and, you know, like, for example, just like we did a Stevie Wonder tribute back in November, and he is my favorite vocalist and songwriter.
Love Stevie Wonder. Yep.
And to be able to sing those powerful songs and to have the crowd react the way that they do, and to see just everyone having so much fun and just smiling and dancing, and it's just an incredible energy to experience.
I love that album. I think I heard a song off Inner Visions, that great Stevie Wonder album. It looks a lot of fun. I'm glad that it's a lot of fun. I know you'll get the chance to do that again. I know you will. Hey, Sarah, I got a question, one of the big questions here. What is art?
Yeah, it's difficult to describe, but I think, you know, there's so many different forms of art and so many different ways to identify it and have it hit you. But really, I think it's anything that kind of, you know, hits that buzzer that makes you feel something or elicits this kind of like primitive response in people, whether it's, you know, laughter or sadness or like introspection or, you know, it manifests in so many ways. But I think it's just something that hits a person and makes them feel something.
Yeah, and I asked that question throughout the podcast. I'm always fascinated because it's one of those questions I like to ask a lot of different people, because everybody has some sort of experience or appreciation of art. And I think once you get into that question, a lot, one of the main things that comes up is kind of like the emotional connection that people have to, you know, what they're hearing or what they're performing. And I just found that there's a lot of emotion that comes up about it, rather than like it's comprised of X, Y, and Z. And I hear that in your answer as well. One of the questions I asked as far as the creative process, the question is why you create. Do you feel that you're compelled to create, you know, music and otherwise, and it's kind of just what you have to do? Or do you ever step back and say, you know, why am I doing this? What am I trying to do, you know, as a creator when I'm creating something?
Sure. Yeah, it's definitely, I think that creating, whether it's, you know, music or visual art or theater or whatever, it's something that you're compelled to do, and it's like beyond your control. I think that people who have that drive, it's hard to figure out where it comes from, and it's hard to describe, but it's just there. And, you know, this is a conversation I have with my dad a lot. And, you know, really, I think through those conversations, we both come to the conclusion that really a person is just a conduit, and that these ideas and these feelings already exist, and they're up there floating around somewhere. And if you're in the right place at the right time and you're receptive to it, it will just come through you and out into the world for other people to experience.
I can confirm your answer in seeing you live. I mean, part of the thing was I was reaching out to you because, like, haven't seen you live and heard the music. Like, when I heard your voice and how you're singing and I heard the soulful element to it, I started to look around. I'm like, does anybody else see what's happening here? Because because metal brings that in. Metal has incredible vocals. A lot of people kind of get confused about that who aren't into metal. It has incredible vocals. But there was a sound that you were bringing in that was like channeling, that was emotive, that was a deeper soulful resonance within metal. And that's where I looked around me. I'm like, anybody else see what's happening here? So I was there when you did that, and I totally connected to your answer because that was the piece of like, whoa, take a look at this. So that and due reverence to that moment. I think that's where the power is. At least that's what I saw, and particularly with the metal music, which has so much power inherent within it.
Definitely. I feel like, especially art that is performed, where you have that person-to-person connection with artist to audience, that element is so much larger, as opposed to just like walking through a museum and looking at creations. And really the performance for me is like, I have to go to a place where I know I won't get in the way. Like I kind of, you know, people have brought to my attention like, oh, you always have your eyes closed. Like you should engage the audience more. And really it's like, I look around, you know, every once in a while, but really it's not a concentration, but it's more of just like letting myself dissolve away and just let the music come out and be.
I love that description. I got the big question for you, Sarah. Why is there something rather than nothing?
I think that, you know, people can't help but create and distill whatever it is down and find a way to relate to each other. And I think that, you know, considering all the ancestors past and, you know, if you believe it, or you could say, you know, there's no original thoughts. There's everything that exists has always existed. And I think that there's something about human beings that just grab onto those ideas and those feelings and put them out into the world. And we're lucky that we get to do that.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sarah. In conclusion, one of the things I wanted to ask is if you can let listeners know how to connect with your music and how to connect with, you know, you if you wanted that. But also you had mentioned some of the art work that you do, or the bead work. If you can just kind of let us know too, if any of that type of stuff's available. So it's totally in your control as far as where to lead listeners, as far as, but just what's the best way for them to come in contact with you and your work?
So for Coyote, we have a Reverb Nation page, we have a Facebook page, we have an Instagram, Coyote the Band, with underscores in between. Sarah B3 and 45 RPM. We also have Instagram and Facebook. My bead work I put out into the world under Bee Coyote Creations. And I also have an Instagram and Facebook for that. So yeah, the normal channels.
Yeah. And as I've expressed to you, I really enjoy everything you create. I'm fine in admitting that your voice just blew me away in a style of music that I adore. And then I found the Motown, the soulful element of your singing. So I just wanted to thank you for everything that you do artistically. I truly appreciate it. And to make sure that listeners really get the ability to connect with what you do. Sarah Bilt, it's been an incredible time chatting with you, and I appreciate your thoughts and wisdom. And again, every piece of art that you put out, just wanted to deeply thank you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You take care, Sarah, and best to you and yours and your dad as well.
Thank you. You as well.
Take care now.
You too.
Yeah. see.